Dip, 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 dip. Sha la la, sha la la la, ba do. Sha la la, sha la la la, ba do. Sha la la, sha la la la, ba do. Sha la la, sha la la la, ba do. Dip, 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 Good evening, this is the Labor Exchange. I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject of tonight's program is teacher issues, Boulder Valley School District, and the state of Colorado. With us is a very special guest from before, Terry Mulford, President, Boulder Valley Education Association, also known as BVEA. Terry, thank you for being on the Labor Exchange at KGNU.
You're welcome, Dennis. Glad to be here.
Let's begin, like I always do, with you and other guests with some background questions. So with that said, Terry, how long have you been employed as a professional educator teacher with the Boulder Valley School District and or the state of Colorado?
Well, I've been with the Boulder Valley School District since 1991, and I started in Colorado in 1984, but I'm proud to say that I've recently completed my 40th year of public education overall.
Congratulations. How long have you been president of the BVEA?
Well, Dennis, I was elected 2 years ago in the spring, so I am now starting my third year as the BVEA president.
Okay.
This is the first of a three-year term.
For this KGNU listening audience, especially our new and younger listening members, could you share your impressive academic background?
Thanks, Dennis. Well, I'm not sure it's impressive, but it is long. I graduated in 1979 with a master's degree in speech pathology from the University of North Dakota. And I worked my first 5 years in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, as a speech and language specialist. And then I had another 7 years in Fort Collins, Colorado, with the Pooter School District, again in speech and language. And then I started in the Boulder Valley School District in 1991, 7 years in speech and language. And then in 1998, I became a classroom educator, and I taught third grade for 19 years at Lafayette Elementary. And now, the last 2 years and starting my third, I'm a full-time relief president.
Could you comment on how all teachers, including yourself, are expanding their skills on an ongoing basis?
Right. Well, we call that professional development, and we're very fortunate in Colorado to have a program called Co-Pilot, which is and that stands for Colorado Professional Institute for Learning Online Together. And that is through the Colorado Education Association. And it provides high-quality professional development for educators so they can achieve professional excellence. Co-Pilot offers graduate credit from Adams State University, and all classes are eligible for license renewal through CDE. BVSD also started offering this year leadership credit, and it's so educators can earn credits towards salary schedule movement. And in order to do that, they need to demonstrate leadership that goes above and beyond standard expectations for their role and contribution to the district. So you basically get credit for doing good work for the district. And then we also have a very extensive professional development department in Boulder Valley. And this year, we are offering quite a few online classes before the students start. And those classes involve everything from learning management systems and tech tools, instructional design and unit development, creating a safe classroom community, using assessment to guide instruction. So that menu of classes is available, and our educators have been participating in that professional development last week and this week as well.
Terry,
and then people, yes.
I just wanted to move on, if that's okay.
Sure.
I wanted to do an update before we get into the more of the content of the show, and that's the Boulder Valley Education Association and the Colorado Education Association. So as before, and at this point of time, how many teachers, full-time and part-time, are employed by the Boulder Valley School District?
Well, our Unit B educators, who are licensed and credentialed teachers, are number about 2,000.
How many are dues-paying union members to the Boulder Valley Education Association?
Dennis, we have about 80% of those folks that are members of BVEA, so close to 1,600.
That's impressive. Obviously, mm-hmm. you're the competing maybe with St. Vrain School District, but you have the largest, whether it be public or private sector union in Boulder County. So, Terry, with that said, you have teacher representatives, union reps, in all schools. How does this complement your leadership as president of the Boulder Valley Education Association?
So our teacher leaders in buildings are called association representatives, and they play a very important role. They're that conduit between myself and my vice president and our executive board to their members. So we have trainings each year, we have monthly meetings, and those folks have a lot of needed information and representation for the BVEA members in the building.
And just to finish up that question, how does the Colorado Education Association represent all public teachers throughout the state of Colorado?
Well, the Colorado Education Association does a great job of providing ongoing teacher leadership training and programs. We have lobbyists who work very hard for us during the legislative session. We also have a government relations program that coincides with that, and we interview candidates and make recommendations for the legislature. So, and then we also have a legal team at CEA that provides support for our members if we need it. So they really do a great job of just providing overall support for all of Colorado's educators.
All right, Terry, you did a great job with that. So I want to get into teacher issues. And so attempts via various media sources are made to define teacher unions and teachers as two distinct, albeit separate, entities. What is wrong with this analysis? And how has the NEA, National Education Association, the CEA, Colorado Education Association, and Boulder Valley Education Association been successful in reframing this perception?
Well, Dennis, I would say that this is your professional association, and BVEA does represent all of the Unit B employees. We, when we do our negotiations, it isn't just for our members, but it's for all of Unit B. NEA, CEA, BVEA all provide resources for teaching. We provide member benefits. We just represent all educators with the common goal of providing support so our students can thrive.
All right, then, good. Terry, as per our phone conversation earlier in the week, or last week, could you explain the surveys taken with teachers in the context of the Boulder Valley School District, the Boulder Valley Education Association, et cetera, and what did the results reveal to you?
Okay, well, I'll try to just talk about the highlights. And we surveyed our members mid-July, and we asked how concerned members were about several returning to work issues. And so the results revealed that over 70% of our members were very concerned about things such as safe social distancing in their classrooms. They were concerned about students not wearing masks or face coverings. They were concerned about contracting COVID-19 from students and staff. They were concerned about losing pay and leave times for getting sick or having to quarantine. And they were also concerned about parents sending sick children to school. And 56% of our members were experiencing a great deal of anxiety regarding returning to work during this pandemic. 35% had some anxiety. So when we asked them also how if they would prefer to work remotely or in person, 66% said they would work remotely if given a choice. 24% preferred to work in person, and no preference was 10%. And then we interviewed our members again a couple of weeks later, and this was when it was known that we were going to be in a phase three. We hadn't announced phase one yet. And 62% of our members were experiencing a great deal of anxiety, and 28% experiencing some anxiety about having to return to school. And when we asked them which phase they were the most comfortable returning in, 38% said they would be comfortable returning in phase one, 37% indicated phase two, and 18% indicated phase three. So it just showed there was a lot of fear and anxiety and uncertainty out there among our members.
How will this data help you in performing your duties as president of the Boulder Valley Education Association?
Well, we shared that data with school district officials and with our school board. And it also helped us communicate a message to the district that our members are still afraid to come back to work or were, and that we just need to make sure that the health and safety conditions are met before we can require in-person teaching.
Terry, just to follow up and in line with this, might be a little overkill question, but how has the pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19, impacted all teachers of the Boulder Valley School District? And what are some of the changes that have taken place during the past 6 months?
Well, I would say that our educators have all become experts in delivering instruction using online virtual platforms. They may have had some knowledge in the past, but now they're darn good at it. Our educators have found unique ways of connecting with students outside of the typical brick-and-mortar school classroom. They've also gotten very just meeting virtually among themselves, Google Meet and Zoom. You know, we had conduct all our BVEA meetings now virtually. I think our members have all gotten used to wearing masks and practicing social distancing. We've had members update their wills, and some have made sure they have a will in place because they are concerned. We've had members that have considered retiring early, and some have actually done so. We've had a number of members fill out medical exemption forms for themselves because of their medical issues or living with people who were immunocompromised. So we've had people just really having to make some tough life decisions over the past 6 months.
And that's a good example you mentioned at the end, because I don't know his name, I forget it, but it was in the camera, and it was, I connected because he was a social studies teacher, and that's what I was, history as well. And he's at Southern Hills Middle School, and he has reluctantly decided that he's going to retire after 25 years, although he has more time to go, because he's worried he has epilepsy. And he's worried about somehow if he contracted COVID-19, his doctor told him it could, you know, morph into a stroke. And if it had that, then, you know, he'd be in bad shape. So I can see the fact that not just him, but some others have maybe similar issues, and they're deciding to retire.
You can't. Yeah, and I know Pete pretty well. He's a member of our negotiations committee, or was, and we're going to really miss him this next school year.
For those of you who've joined us late, this is Labor Exchange, and I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject of tonight's program is teacher issues, Boulder Valley School District in the state of Colorado. And with us, special guest, Terry Mulford, President, Boulder Valley Education Association. Terry, moving on, we talked a little bit before we started this interview, and we talked last week, and, you know, you had me, you know, empathizing and, you know, actually feeling sorry for you. In this context is that you talked about meetings, lots of meetings that, you know, you've attended the past 6 months or more. So could you discuss all the meetings you have been part of in the context of teacher issues, student issues, Boulder Valley School District issues, et cetera, during the past 6 months?
Sure, Dennis. Thank you. Well, since we went on home learning in March, I and my vice president, Patty Delgado, have been participating in coronavirus preparedness meetings with about 25 other district leaders. And we started off meeting every day, and then it went to twice a week, and then this summer it's gone to once a week, so we get weekly updates, and we give input as well. There's just been a lot of meetings this summer with various district leaders. We're involved with the professional development and educator effectiveness departments. We continue to meet with district administrators as asked. So just before this call, I had to jump on a meeting at 2:30 that was just set up a couple of hours ago because somebody needed our help and advice. And so you just had to be prepared all summer to meet with people. And the other thing that we were involved with this summer is our negotiations committee worked with district leaders to write a memorandum of understanding to supplement our current contract to address considerations for this school year. And it was things that you wouldn't normally have in a contract because we didn't know about the pandemic. And I think that took 15 to 18 hours to get all that work done over a 3-4 day period of time. And I'll just say, you know, it hasn't been a really fun summer, basically with not a lot of time off, if any, but you know, that's the job I was elected to do. And I'm just set to continue doing this work, and this is the job that you have to do right now. So I'm doing okay, and we have some really supportive members, but it's kind of a constant question and answer, like how many emails are you going to get? What are the needs that are arising? Well, I think that's just the way the year's going to be.
You just answered my next two questions, and that was, what sort of mental and emotional toll has this taken on you? But apparently you're accepting, you know, all the mm-hmm. all the work involved with it and doing the best you can. And I next question was, are the teachers you represent giving you good support? And apparently they're outstanding in giving you support.
Yeah, they're a great group.
Terry, let's move on to a question we've asked, you know, either you or a few years before you were president with Tina Mew, and it's kind of an update question, and that's the Public Employee Retirees Association, also known as PERA. So could you give an update with PERA and its financial status?
Sure. I planned for this question, so I was overlooking my annual financial report that I got from PERA this summer, and they talked about their CAFR, which is the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and that was released on June 19th, this summer, 2020, and that covers their performance during the 2019 calendar year. And the report said that PERA had a very positive year in 2019 with a 20.3% total fund investment return. And the CAFR reflects information in a single point in time, and that was December 31st, 2019, and it doesn't include the information about the 2020 performance so far. And as we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected market volatility. But PERA incorporates risk into their investment decisions, and it's positioned quite well to withstand ups and downs. So we'll know on December 31st, 2020, what are those financial results for this calendar year. And that actually won't until June 2021.
And with that said, why is a healthy, stable, and sustainable public employee retirement retirees association in the context of positive cash flow important to Boulder Valley Education Association teachers, and all public employees in the state of Colorado?
Well, we know, Dennis, that we have thousands of educators living in the state of Colorado who are retired. And those educators spend their retirement benefits in the state. I'm sure some move out of state, but it has what an impact on the economy. And I guess PERS can one of the largest contributors to the Colorado economy based on benefit payments with investments. And they provide jobs and services to boost the state's economy. And I wanted to mention also that due to legislation in 2018, our contributions to PERA increased on July 1st to 10%, and that's up from 8.75%. And that's not easy, but every dollar you contribute is placed in your own account. So it might hurt now, but you're going to have more money later.
Terry, moving on, I got... I hope I can get these three questions in. First one, could you talk about, discuss the quote-unquote strategic plan work that has been in effect with the Boulder Valley School District and the Boulder Valley Education Association since a couple years ago? And what is the plan, and what are some of the primary objectives?
Well, the plan overall, Dennis, is all together for all students. That's the overriding theme, and it has the same three long-term outcomes that have been in place that were established 2 years ago, and they are like all students benefit from challenging and relevant educational opportunities. We want to reduce disparities in achievement, and every graduate or every student graduates empowered with the skills necessary for postgraduate success. So there's four themes around those three long-term outcomes, and those are focused on instruction and partnerships and culture support. So each year there is a phase plan put forth, and strategic initiatives that go with this plan are put into place. So this past year, we were focused on creating a standards-based scope and sequence for pre-K-12, defining and implementing common and aligned instructional practices, prioritize standards, partnerships, and creating a framework for culturally responsive practices and principles. The work is still going on, albeit a little more challenging in this virtual environment, but Phase 2 initiatives are moving forward, and we'll keep working on Phase 1.
Terry, at this time last year, you were in the process that already had purchased office space for the Boulder Valley Education Association after 50 years. How has this new office space impacted the Boulder Valley Education Association and all its duties as the union representing all teachers in the Boulder Valley School District?
Well, Dennis, we're very proud of our office space, and albeit the fact that we haven't used it a lot in the last 6 months. But before that, we had constant meetings there with individual members. We had monthly executive board and AR meetings. We were proud to host a legislative breakfast there last February with quite a few local legislators, including Joe Neduce as well. And we also have hosted a lot of committee meetings with BVEA and also the district. We used it for a cabinet retreat. So it's a great space, and it's ready to be used again. And we're going to be using it when we're comfortable with in-person meetings. So it's just there waiting for us to be used again.
Terry, just real quickly, could you comment on the status of the Boulder Valley School District's schools reopening? Is there a date or anything?
Well, they will be opening with students in a phase one on August 26th. So I'm not sure what you meant by that question exactly.
No, I just wanted to know overall if there was a date. We were talking about, you know, there could be delays.
Instruction.
What's that?
Were you talking about in-person instruction?
Yes, in person.
And I think there's a hope that that will be happening sometime this fall, but there's no set date at this point. There's a reintroduction task force that's working very hard on coming up with a 2+ phase, but that work has just gotten started, and we'll know those recommendations more toward the end of September.
All right, then. Terry, let's talk about the election Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. So as I always do with you and other union leaders, what special efforts will you and the officers of the Boulder Valley Education Association be making in the context of voter turnout for the upcoming election on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020? With that said, have you and the Boulder Valley Education Association Political Action Committee begun your interview and subsequent endorsement process for all elective offices, ballot initiatives, et cetera, for this upcoming election?
Well, what we have done so far, we do have a political action committee, and we did interview some local legislators who had filled out a questionnaire for us, and that's to get an ongoing endorsement from the Colorado Education Association. So we passed on those recommendations, and those folks have been endorsed by CEA, and I'm talking Steve Fenberg and Matt Gray and Judy Amabile. We will continue to get recommendations from CEA for local legislative races that they would like us to support. We will be involved in the presidential election to some extent, or congressional races. We encourage our members to get out to vote, and we will, you know, give them constant updates through our monthly news media, through other things, our AR meetings. So in this virtual environment, we'll be able to go out and canvas and leave literature, but we will definitely make sure we're keeping our members very informed and encouraging them to vote early when they get those mail-in ballots.
Terry, we're about done. We have less than a minute, but just a summary question. Do you have any final thoughts or comments for this KGNU listening audience in the context of tonight's subject, teacher issues, Boulder Valley School District, and the state of Colorado?
I guess in general, this is going to be a unique and challenging year for the entire country, as well as our state and local school district. And it's going to take Herculean efforts for all of us to put our best thinking together to be able to deliver the instruction that our students need and deserve. And I think we have the capability here to do that. And hopefully at some point, we'll be getting those kids back in the classroom when it's safe and we're able to do that. So those would be my final thoughts.
Thank you. Thank you for being on Labor Exchange at KGNU. If anybody has any comments about this show or any other show at KGNU, please call 303-447-9911. And next week, Monday, August 24th, 2020, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been the Labor Exchange, and I am Dennis Kreese for KGNU Community Radio.